Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listeners in Chicago and around the world, Windy City citizens and surrounding suburbanites, tech-savvy millennials and baby-booming Luddites, welcome to yet another very special The Game Show Show and Stop!
Everybody, welcome.
What a time.
Time to be alone.
I feel like a crazy person, too.
I'm sorry, Kevin Meaney.
Stop rolling around up there.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry about that.
You
welcome, everybody.
Stop rolling around up there.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Anderson Laufer. I'm the host of The Game Show Show and Stuff. And with me, as always, is the lugubrious and lascivious Mr. James Anthony Zoccoli Jazz.
Hey, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Anderson. Please do not use my government name. I'm thinking of defecting to Canada.
Oh, man, now's the time.
It is.
Or no,
maybe Mexico. I think I'd like to be on the other side of that wall, actually.
Canada, when everybody talks about moving to Canada, I don't think they understand that it's cold a lot of the time.
It's true.
While in Mexico, there are problems.
There are.
Beheading.
Right.
Beheading and drug trafficking gangs are a real problem.
Yeah.
In sections.
Sure, sure.
It's very warm.
It's so warm,
and that's
though.
That's the most important thing.
It really is.
And nobody ever mentions moving to Costa Rica, which for my money is the place to go.
It's true, because you know one thing that people don't know about Costa Rica? I've been there. Costa Rica is the Switzerland of South America.
Yeah, right.
It's true. They are neutral.
Well,
isn't that good? Good for them, right?
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
That's why I'm going.
All right. I might join you.
And with us tonight, we have a very, very special guest.
That's right.
We've been fans of his for a long time.
It's true.
He actually did the show a couple years ago.
Yeah.
At the radio station.
That's right, when we were still on a radio station.
Yeah, but now we're just on the internet.
We're now just radio misfits.
Mm-hmm.
We did not fit on the radio.
No. It was a misfit.
It was indeed.
Here with us is big gay horror fan, Brian Crist, everybody.
Yes!
What's up?
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
It's a great season for you, huh?
It is a great season for me.
What's new?
What's new?
Yeah. In the big gay horror world.
In the big gay horror world?
What's new in the horror world and the gay world?
Oh my God.
I feel like we're out of touch.
Never the twain shall meet.
Oh, really? Are you sure?
Except at me, with me.
Oh.
And that's why you have the market cornered.
There we go. There we go. All right.
Impressive.
Yeah. I know. Don't, you know, fade away and feel like you have to, like, you know. I don't know what I'm saying.
I won't fade away.
Which I guess makes me a radio misfit.
That's right.
I love your customized mics here.
Yeah, aren't they cool?
I feel very special being in the studio.
Thank you. They're very cool.
Yeah, with the customized radio misfits mic.
That's right.
Our president, Ed Silla, has done a great job.
I like it. I'm a slobby gay dude. Like, I know nothing about fashion.
You know what? If I was a gay guy, I would want a slobby gay guy.
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh. You would. You know, I'm going to Hamilton this week, and and I don't know what the hell I'm wearing. You know, I'm like a black t-shirt. And
you should dress like you're in the cast of Hamilton.
Seriously, or maybe I should just, like, you know, wear a Radio Misfits microphone and be really fucking cool. I can say fucking cool, right?
You sure can.
We're on the internet.
Yeah.
Not on the radio. All right.
Okay, well.
Yes, Anderson.
Before we get started with the show, Jazz, there's something I wanted to tell you guys about.
Okay, please do.
We have been playing joke songs and parody songs for years.
That's true. I've even made some, and we've had all kinds of interesting guests who've played funny songs. And, of course, our oftentimes guest and friend of the show, Nicole Bloomsmith, she writes funny songs, and we've featured some of those.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we have just received our first ever fan song.
Really?
Mm-hmm. A fan of the show named Jacob wrote a song and sent it to us, and we just received it.
That's awesome.
I'm excited to play it for you. This is setting a very high bar, Jazz.
Okay.
As far as fan songs go.
A high bar? It sounded like you were going to say a hard bar.
A hard, high bar.
A high, hard bar. All right.
So here we go. It's called My Song.
That's an original composition.
There you
go. Wow.
That's from Jacob. Hopefully we'll be getting a lot more songs.
Amen. Awesome.
It kind of ties in a bit. Have you guys seen Spookies?
No. What's that?
Oh, man. Now, that's a movie for the Halloween season.
Really?
Spookies.
Spookies.
Do tell. Spookies.
Yeah. Well, they have fart monsters in Spookies.
Really?
Yes.
What does a fart monster look like?
Just dirty, and like it comes mucky, like it's like a muck creature, mucky, like a swamp thingy kind of
like
thing.
A cloudy kind
of
just
kind of it emerges from the ground of this haunted mansion in Spookies, and there are several of them. But apparently, it was started by two very serious like auteurs who were gonna make this really great horror film,
okay.
And the producer saw it and went, like, this sucks. And hired a female porno director.
Really?
To take it over. And she added more characters. So when they released it, it was the combination of the two. But the guy who produced the movie thought farts were hilarious.
Yeah,
so
they
were not.
Everyone does.
There weren't farts initially in the scene where one of the couples ends up in the basement and, you know, things are emerging everywhere, and the muck monsters emerge to attack them, and
they get killed by farts.
They get killed by the farting monsters.
Nice.
But of course, like, the two guys who originally started the film were devastated.
Oh yeah, because they were like,
felt like it was just destroyed. And it's probably the most memorable part of the film. And I don't know. There's many memorable parts in Spookies. It's hard to find.
Can you find it on the internet?
I don't know.
You can find everything on the internet.
Let me ask
you
something. How many movies do you watch a week? How many horror movies would you say you watch?
Movies?
Because you like other stuff too, not just horror movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would say 5 to 10.
New ones?
Really?
Wow.
That's a lot of movies.
Plus, he knows everything about them. So it's not like just watching a movie like I do. I cannot tell actresses apart. Like, you could show me a picture of Kate Hudson or Gwyneth Paltrow or Sarah Jessica Parker, any fucking blonde woman in the world.
Oh, you would know the difference.
I don't. I swear to God. You can ask Nikki. We'll watch some movie, and it'll be Kate Hudson movie, and I'll be like, who is this? And she's like, this is Kate Hudson. She was just in this other thing.
Right.
And then we'll watch some Kate Beckinsale movie or something.
Okay,
and I'll
say,
is this Kate Hudson? She's like, no, this is Kate Beckinsale.
Right.
And then we'll watch some movie with some other broad. Who's a girl from Titanic? Kate Winslet. Yeah, and I'll be like, hey, this is Kate Hudson. She's like, no, I have like autism when it comes to people's, like, blonde women's faces.
Maybe it's just women named Kate. That's
I was
going to
say, there's a common thread beyond their blondness.
Yeah, maybe that's true.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, also, I
would
say... I can
tell Cameron Diaz, though.
Okay, good for you.
Boy, howdy. She's good looking. Nice. She's like 57 years old, too. She's still good looking.
She's still looking okay. I was going to say the other reason why you probably don't separate them as easily as, say, Nikki would is because you have more of a vested interest in the performances and the careers of male actors because you're studying the same sort of craft as them, whereas, you know, a lady has a different kind of, you know, different considerations when it comes to casting and acting and stuff. You know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Sure,
so, like,
sure.
You're attracted to different kinds of people when you're watching characters and identifying with characters in films.
You know, I just read an article about the future of female actors in the world.
Okay.
And how it is not good.
Really?
What's her name? Lawrence. Jennifer Lawrence
uh-huh.
has set the bar very low for acting.
Is that right?
Because
interesting.
The theory is that actresses before... about 15 years ago,
uh-huh.
would play characters that had all ranges of emotion.
Sure,
and
sure.
Jennifer Lawrence, who is the biggest actress in the world, arguably, has only taken roles where she must be sullen at all times and
okay.
not have any facial expressions,
oh,
basically.
Interesting.
And so all these movies where anything from Winter's Bone to the Hunger Games...
Uh-huh.
She has no real expression. She neither looks sad nor happy at any time in the movies. She just says her lines and then walks around.
Well, that's a whole new school of thought. With
an actress for the Botox generation.
Ooh, that's a really good way of putting it. Maybe that's why people identify with her more, because they're all expressionless. We're all turning into robots, guys.
Jacob wrote a song about Jennifer Lawrence, if you want to hear
it. Is that right? An ode to Jennifer Lawrence?
Yeah, you want to hear it?
Yeah, let's hear it. Earnest.
In the note that he sent over, he said that is really him farting. He put a microphone up to
really?
His butthole and farted into the.
That's organic.
Did he tell what he ate to produce the farts? Now, that would
he didn't
really
say. We could ask him.
Yeah, no,
he wrote the tune too, though, as well.
Oh
the
wow,
piano tune.
That's so. Really good. You know what? I bet I know what he ate.
What?
I bet I know what he ate.
Pork.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. We use a lot of sound effects on this show, obviously.
I was hoping he ate, like, hot dog flavored potato chips from 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah,
that's what I was hoping.
I can get down with that. Anything hot dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, spicy hot dogs, pickled hot dogs. I was going to say, you know, we do a lot of sound effects, and we should use more organic stuff. And so we should probably start canning our own farts.
Maybe we need to hire Jacob.
Yeah. Let's do it. He's obviously a professional.
One of the best.
Yeah, he's one of the best. Thanks, Jacob. We appreciate you.
Please clap.
All right. Enough of that nonsense.
Okay.
We got to get to this interview with Brian here.
Yeah, we
the
do.
The big gay horror fan.
Yeah.
What website can we go to find about you? Big gay horror fan.
BigGayHorrorFan.com. Facebook.
Nice.
Facebook.com.
Big gay horror fan.
Do you tweet?
I do tweet.
You're a tweeter.
I tweet.
That's impressive. I don't understand how to do it.
You know, it's a lot of just like when I've posted something, I'll make sure I tweet it.
Or, sure, sure.
You know, when I go on the Instagram and, you know,
right.
upload the photos, I'll make sure I put it on Facebook and the Twitter.
Wow.
So,
that's impressive. It's hard.
Yeah,
social media is hard.
We're really bad at it.
Oh, awful.
You
just
know,
awful.
It's hard to figure out because, you know, like I just did a piece on Scream Queens.
Okay, nice.
Which...
You love the Scream Queens.
I love the Scream Queens in general. I don't know how I feel about Scream Queens, the television series, so
okay,
much.
Okay.
But they played a cool song, and I do a thing called Music to Make Horror Movies By every Sunday. And they used Regina's Baby Love for their end piece last Tuesday.
What
for
is
one
that?
Of the big kills. It's just, Baby Love. I don't know. Can we do that?
No.
Can we do? We can't do that. We can't do what I just did.
But we can't play music unless we get permission.
I can't probably can't even sing it, can I?
You could, but you
probably because I sing so badly, they would know what the melody was.
If you just changed one of the words in it, maybe you could. And then it would be a parody.
But it was this song where she wrote it for Madonna, and then Madonna didn't want it, and she recorded it, and because it was written for Madonna, it almost sounds like Madonna's singing it. So that was the big controversy, like in 86 when it came out. But it's just this cute little bubblegum song, and they used it to highlight a murder scene. So I wrote about that, and of course, like, you know, I tag the Scream Queens thing on Twitter, and I tag it on Facebook, and I'm like, oh, this will be the big payday. Someone's going to pick this up, and, you know, two people... You know, retweeted it and yeah,
nice.
That shit's hard.
It's hard.
I don't know how to do the marketing too. You try. Oh,
do you have a lot of followers?
I'm almost at 5,000 on Twitter.
Wow,
that's good.
5,000.
I like 1,550 on Facebook.
Wow,
that's pretty good.
That's a hell of a lot of people.
It's getting there. Yeah. You know, with my. Cracked and twisted delusions of grandeur, though. You always want more.
Man. I mean, we got hookers when we got to 1,000 likes on Facebook for our game show.
Yeah, we got hand jobs everywhere.
Oh, man. We were like having a party.
Yeah. I couldn't take the Broadway bus without getting a hand job.
That's right.
I wonder where my aunts were that night. Now I know. They were with you guys.
That's right.
Oh, man.
But no, that's really. That's impressive, man. That's really impressive. Wow.
It's never enough. It's just never enough.
We need to get a big gay horror fan bump. We need him to retweet. We need to tweet something that's retweetable. Honestly, just tweeting something retweetable is hard enough as it is.
It's crazy.
Because everything that I see nowadays is just about Donald Trump.
That's true.
Like, for a guy who's going to fucking lose, he sure does suck all the air out of the room.
Yeah, he really does, man. Fucking
like
sucks
the Toronto Blue Jays, they don't cause as much fucking nonsense, you know? They're going to lose, too.
Yeah, it's true. They don't get nearly as much airtime.
Oh, my God, dude. Was this what, like, Barry Goldwater was like in the 60s? Everybody was fucking...
Barry Goldwater.
Right. Fucking everywhere you went.
Just graffiti everywhere. Yeah. Goldwater sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
This is what Goldwater is going to do to your family. This is what Goldwater said about the blacks. Oh, my God. Enough already. Everybody hates the fucking guy.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Let it alone. I don't
but
even want to go...
The scary thing is... Real life horrors, but some people don't hate that guy.
Some people don't. And
they're even talking about Real Horror Show taking away the 19th Amendment, and women are going like, I would do that.
Oh,
Trump would win.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's really scary.
It's unbelievable, but it's a scary thing. A feeling we are going to see an election that is the biggest landslide election. It's going to be such a big landslide in favor of Clinton.
You think so?
That it destroys the Republican Party.
I hope so. Yeah. Well, for my community, it's scary just because, you know, the people that support him are just nasty. And granted, there's so much that goes on the internet now that you don't know what's real. You don't know what news reports are real. You don't know what memes or whatever the hell they call them, moo-moos, mamas are real.
Yeah.
I don't know what mamas are real. But there's one of someone in the American flag, a stick figure, kicking... someone in the Pride flag colors and with a Trump supporter underneath it. So,
come on, man.
Yeah.
That's so atrocious. It's pretty scary.
The
that,
one thing that has come out of this election is even when he gets, you know, 2 million votes out of 350 million or whatever, people have identified with him that it's okay to be loud and racist instead of just being fucking quiet and keeping your mouth shut if you're racist.
Yeah.
Or prejudice against people. So that's the biggest issue that's come out, and that will not go away.
That's what I'm worried about, yeah. How is that going to continue, even if Hillary does get in, which we're all hoping? You know, is that attitude still going to prevail, and are people still going to be out there thinking, oh, dude.
Yeah, and I will say,
his skin's
you know,
a little darker. That's a terrorist. I'll follow him down the alley. You know, get out the...
When I go on Facebook and I see people get out the matches.
The matches and gasoline.
Not even a lighter.
How did we get off a big gay horror and onto Donald Trump?
This is the horror, baby.
Because he is the horror.
But, you know, I see a lot of people on Facebook who are like getting in fights with their family members and everything about Trump. And I refuse to do that.
Yeah.
In the 2008 election, I posted some like funny things that I thought were like anti-Obama propaganda, him, like in a Hitler mustache and all that shit. Right, you remember all that stuff?
Yeah.
And
you can't do anything funny on Facebook anymore. Everyone's too goddamn serious.
And people agreed with you. They're like, oh,
no,
yeah.
One of my, well, I posted them to be funny.
Yeah, of
and
course.
Then I wrote like, these are the actual things. And it was, you know, supposed to be funny. And then a family member of mine wrote underneath in a comment section. And this is another problem with fucking Facebook. Yeah. We'll talk about that soon, too.
Okay.
She wrote underneath, well, I understand that these are offensive, but Obama is trying to start death camps.
Oh, God.
For sick people, you know?
Oh, God.
And because that's what the Republicans were being told, that
yeah,
Obama was
going to
create these camps for people who couldn't afford insurance to just go and die. And when I saw that in writing...
Would they have games at that camp?
From yeah.
It might be fun to go to the death camp if you're dying anyways.
There you go.
You know, have a good time your last few months.
Turn into reality television.
Yeah.
One of those big rope swings.
Yeah.
So when I saw a relative that I have loved my whole life write something like that, it made me say, okay, I can't do... I cannot post things like this because I can't... I cannot handle what I get back.
Poor Andy.
You know what I'm saying?
Poor Andy.
Yeah.
Poor
but
all
I see
of us.
Some people.
Poor humanity.
I see some people on Facebook who are like, if you are a Trump supporter, then fucking unfriend me now and don't talk to me anymore. And then there's their family members, people with the same last names, who write like, it's a shame. I want you to know that I love you as a cousin or whatever, but I guess we'll never talk again. And, you know, just shit like that. And I'm like,
why are you reading it? Don't read it, Andy. Leave it alone.
Fucking
stop
so depressing.
Going down the rabbit hole, man.
It's so depressing.
It's
dude.
So depressing. Go stop, 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 stop.
Whoa.
Just stop it. Go do something else when that happens, man.
And the other thing we were talking about Facebook.
Here we go.
Jazz and I are very bombastic people, and assume you are as well, very outgoing and extroverted, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
The problem that has happened in the world since Facebook was invented is that extroverted, bombastic people such as us now have to share the same fucking microphone and platform as all the introverted people
in the
world.
That's right. That's true.
They can be just as noisy as we can.
Yeah.
And that is so fucking aggravating.
Yeah.
Because even just 8 years ago,
yeah,
I would walk into a room and people would be like, yeah, all right, here's the party.
That's right.
But now, everyone is just checking their phones at the bar.
Uh-huh.
And the fun guys have no place to go.
They're not paying any attention to us anymore, Andy.
All I'm saying is we were born 30 years too late.
Yeah, absolutely.
Late 70s, early 80s at the bars, we would have been kings of the world.
Oh, man.
We would have been millionaires.
Woo! With our senses of humor and great dance moves, forget about it.
Oh, yeah. The dance moves. I think that I did.
Oh, yeah.
Jazz and I used to go to this place called Big City Tap. You know that place?
Yeah.
Now, this is before Facebook was invented.
That's right. Thank God. I wouldn't want to be tagged in any of those photos.
Oh, my God. Break dancing and finger blasting. Having the best time of our lives.
Oh, that's funny.
Well,
how the hell did we get off on these tangents, Anderson? This has like been a waste of 20 minutes.
I know, I'm sorry. We were talking about the big gay horror stuff.
No, and then we got onto Trump, and then we got to Big City Tap. What a horrible course of events.
You probably don't want to have Trump associated with Big City Tap.
No, you know, no way.
You might want to revise that part of the show.
Yeah.
I just am looking forward for the day 20 years from now when Donald Trump and Pete Rose are hanging out at like comic book conventions signing baseball.
Scott Bio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
and Antonio
Ditka.
Sabato Jr.
Mike Ditka can
Antonio
join him too.
Sabato.
Dude,
screw him.
If I had the hots for any straight dude, it would be Antonio Sabato Jr.
He was a good looking guy.
He's done some cheesy ass horror films too. I have a little Antonio Sabato Jr. video section. I don't know if I'll have it anymore.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, get rid of it.
I don't know if I can.
Oh, man.
But that is a good question.
He did play the Ed Gein. No, he played Henry, actually. I'm sorry. I didn't play
Henry.
Henry,
right.
He played Henry in like a really bad director.
That's right.
This is a good question, though, for someone like you, since you are a movie expert. Someone's political opinions, how does that affect your view of them as an artist and the art that they make? Because if you look at Mel Gibson, who makes some of the greatest movies in the world, if you just put the movies by themselves, you can say this guy is an incredible filmmaker and artist.
He's made some good movies.
But then as soon as he starts talking about, like, you know, his wife blowing a Jew and all that stuff, you know, it's like, oh, this is too much.
You really can't. You can't get with that.
And that's the problem with fame.
Right.
You can't be an artist and be famous and expect to live in harmony the same way.
It's really so hard. Life is so hard, you guys. How do we do it?
This has been a dilemma for me lately. I'm glad you brought this up. Just because, you know, like, Roman Polanski makes some great films. I think Rosemary's Baby is one of the most amazing films ever. How do you watch... Can you watch a film of his without thinking, well, he slept with a 13 or 14-year-old girl?
Right.
You know, I can't do the Woody Allen. Every once in a while, something will intrigue me enough that I can do the Woody Allen, but I can't do the Woody Allen.
It's hard.
So it's hard. And I went to go see Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah.
Nice. Very good.
But you read about Dr. Dre, who produced that film, so I think it was a little bit whitewashed.
Sure.
You know, it didn't get into all the nitty-gritty.
Sure.
Who has battered countless women.
Oh.
He's making money off of that film. Like, I left and got sick to my stomach. Like, I went with a musician friend of mine.
Oh, man.
And we were like, oh, yeah, yeah, this will be awesome. And I was like, man, you know, I went to the cheap show, too, but I just am sad that my $6 went into that man's pocket.
Right.
Oh. You know, yeah. Think about that. So, yeah. But Scream Factory, who does a lot of great, they're part of Shout Factory, does a lot of great reissues of horror films and tons of special features and new artwork, and just redid the Jeepers Creepers films.
Okay. Really? Just recently?
Wow. Just recently.
Redid them?
Well, just with the special features, not as remade the films.
Gotcha, gotcha. But, okay, gotcha.
Re-released.
Re-releasing.
Re-released. Good. But Victor Salva, who directed that film, is a pedophile. I mean,
he
molested
I didn't know that.
A young boy on the set of Clown House, which was one of his first feature films.
Oh.
And the kid was 8 when he started doing this.
Oh.
So I look at the Scream Factory re-release of Jeepers Creepers 2, and it's probably one of the gayest horror films ever. Just
right on.
in the sense that it's the male body that's... exploited in that. There's a lot of hot young naked guys running around.
Yeah, the football team and then
football team. Yeah, so there is the journalist. It's a football team on a bus and they get, you know, waylaid by the creeper. And one of the main characters is assumedly gay and he's a tough ass. He's got a scar and, you know, he battles the monster and sacrifices himself for his friend. So it's an awesome character to have in the queer canon, you know, especially in a horror film. But then you go and look at the guy who's doing it, and it's totally creepy. And I don't know.
So what do you do?
I don't know what you do. But I think at this day and age, you don't support him anymore. I mean, he should be able to make more films. Those films are already out in the world and have a following.
Right.
But he's talking about doing a third movie in the Jeepers Creepers legacy, and I just think, you know, maybe you just back away from that dude and you don't support him and you don't let him make the films anymore. I don't know how to make that possible.
Right.
But a crime like that, I mean, it's not like, you know, oh, I was desperate and I robbed the Kona grocery store, or, you know, I stole a little bit of money from my Aunt May.
It's like I fucked a kid.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, seriously. It's not even that he slept with someone underage. He's a pedophile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And kind of just luxuriates in that fact. I mean, there is... Ray Wise is in Jeepers Creepers 2, and his son, he's got a preteen son who is snatched by the creeper, which sends him on like this huge spree to get the creeper.
Oh, I remember that one, yeah.
And the son is beautiful. He's a beautiful teenage boy who is snatched away by the creature and, you know, has horrible things done to him. And even Ray Wise, in his commentary track on the Scream Factory thing, talks about how stunningly beautiful this kid was. And you kind of go, okay, here's this guy who's a pedophile, who's got a character, a young boy who is, you know, ripped apart by this monster. What's the underlying psychology of that? So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it is a hard, like, where do you draw that line? When is it okay to, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I can do it and sometimes I can't. I can watch Hitchcock, you know, to the crows come home.
Right.
And what he did to Tippi Hedren and the psychological abuse he inflicted on women is maybe just as bad in some people's minds as,
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, we don't know.
But I could watch him all day long. I love his films.
Right?
But it's hard to say.
I can't think of any like famous artists off the top of my head, but I know there's artists who made paintings that were totally fucking nutso, you know?
Well, we don't know as much about their past because everything isn't put on social media
all the time. Right, right. But like everyone seemed to forgive Robert Downey Jr. for all the crazy shit he was doing.
Sure,
he seemed to be harming himself more than
Was he slapping around women or doing anything destructive to anyone else? No,
I mean he was driving a car high on fucking meth, throwing rats out of the back of it, like throwing imaginary rats out of the back of the car. You know,
so, well, at least they were imaginary rats, so the animal rights activists can't.
So
get
driving
out of
his
face.
A car high, does that?
That's not nearly as bad as any of the stuff that we're talking about, guys. And
PETA endorses Robert Downey Jr.
I don't understand.
He throws out imaginary rats. It's not real rats.
The stuff we got from Donald Trump.
Yeah.
To Jeepers
Creepers.
Is this
like an unusually heavy show?
Sometimes it depends on the show.
Oh, God.
You want to do the news?
I would love to do the news, Anderson, because everybody loves the news.
Well, here we go.
Time now for Anderson Lauffer presents something about things in the news and stuff.
Yes, it's America's favorite segment. Anderson Lauffer presents the news.
People can't get enough of it.
Oh.
In fact, in Jacob's email, he said, love the news.
Hey, nice.
Here's a fart song.
That's right. It's a beautiful thing.
Look out, hot food!
Now you tell me.
According to a recently published medical report, a 47-year-old American man who ate a burger smothered in ghost pepper puree ended up with a large hole in his esophagus.
Wow! That must have hurt.
It was published in the Journal of Emergency Medicine, mentions the unnamed man ate ghost peppers, also known as boot Jolokia, in puree form, smothered on top of a burger, part of an eating contest.
Oh, God.
Soon after finishing the scorching hot meal, he began to experience violent retching and vomiting, as well as severe abdominal.
Wow.
And chest pain.
Oh, my gosh.
The symptoms kept getting worse. The man called emergency responders who took him to the hospital, where he was diagnosed with Borhoff syndrome.
Really? Borhoff syndrome.
Spontaneous esophageal rupture.
Oh.
Was it spontaneous? Didn't the ghost peppers cause it?
Yeah, but
that's
true. It didn't take years and years. You know how like cigarette smoke or whatever nonsense you do, like it can make a hole in your esophagus?
Sure.
This was almost immediate.
Oh my gosh.
From eating these ghost peppers.
Oh.
They discovered a 2.5 centimeter tear in the left side of his throat. And had to insert a tube into the rupture to aid his breathing.
Oh.
Borhoff syndrome is fatal in most cases as the condition has very few typical symptoms and doctors have a difficult time diagnosing it before it's too late. Patients usually succumb to fatal shocks or sepsis. So the 47-year-old man should consider himself lucky to be alive.
Yeah.
Normally, ghost peppers, they say, cause no significant adverse effects.
Okay.
But this case serves as an important reminder of the potentially life-threatening surgical emergency initially interpreted as discomfort after a large, spicy meal.
Okay, good to know. So don't just reach for the Tums.
Yeah, you know every hypochondriac now.
Yeah,
going to be
freaking
like,
out.
That's right.
Boot Jolokia peppers have a spiciness rating of 1 million units on the Scoville scale.
Wow.
So put that in perspective, Jazz.
Yes,
and
please
Brian.
Do.
Tabasco has a rating of 100.
100.
So the Scoville is, or the Boot Jolokia peppers are 1 million.
Right.
So 1,000 times more than Tabasco.
Oh my gosh. It's a million times more strong than that.
The common jalapeno pepper reaches 3,500 units.
Okay.
But the Boot Jolokia is not even the spiciest pepper in the world.
What?
That title belongs to the Carolina Reaper.
Okay.
Sounds like a good horror movie.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love that.
A Scoville rating of 2.2 million units.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
How is that possible? You couldn't even look at that. Remember, we used to play, when we did this show live, like a live game show, which we are doing again October 29th.
That's right. Yay.
We had somebody eat a, what kind of pepper was that? Do you remember? It wasn't a ghost pepper.
No, I think maybe it was a serrano pepper, also a very hot pepper.
And we had the girls who brought it out had to wear gloves because you can't touch it. It'll burn your face. And we did it at the, what's the name of that club? Where we did it with the, next to the gingerbread man?
Yeah. It was at the Metro.
The Metro, right?
Yeah.
We were at the Metro. This girl came up and ate it. You remember?
Yep.
And then we went after our show was done, and she was sitting in the corner holding her stomach and couldn't fucking get it together. Like, yeah, she was done awful. For, man. Yeah.
Oh. It was sad. That's what James used to write the fart song. Serrano pepper.
Yeah, you think so?
Could be. It sure sounded like it might have been.
Yeah.
Burned a hole in his butthole.
That's right.
Call the medics! Oh.
You have Borhave butthole syndrome.
Oh, I don't want to find out anything.
What's the spiciest pepper you ever ate?
Wow. I mean, I think serranos are probably some of the spiciest ones I've eaten, like, you know, in sizable pieces in a dish.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, I eat jalapeno peppers like just whole.
Yeah, me too. Every day.
I love them. Yeah, I love them. Yeah, it's funny because the true story is one of my first jobs, I worked at Giordano's, the pizzeria, because I love their pizza so much. I wanted to eat it all the time and get a discount for my family. And so the guys in the kitchen.
Always thinking.
That's me. That's me. That's how
don't even pay me money. Just let me lick the pan.
That's right. I'm devoted. But anyway, so the guys in the kitchen who were largely of the Latin extraction.
Mexicans?
They were Mexicans, really.
They were going to build a wall around
They would eat the jalapeno peppers. Very funny. Like straight out of the can. And like, I'm still in high school. So I'm like, hey guys, why do you eat those things whole? And the one guy, he just goes, they make your dick as hard as a rock. And I was like, word, give me some. And I would eat them all the time.
Nothing like hanging out with these Mexicans with a really hard dick. Was it true?
Well, I didn't find out in the kitchen, but it has served me well.
They were Mexicans. You would never find out. It would never show.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Do you like spicy food?
Once again, like in high school gym class, I feel like I'm in the wimp in the room again, because no.
Yeah, that's okay.
Do you like spicy dudes?
Oh.
Oh, dudes.
Yeah. No, like I'll have a jalapeno in mixed in something here and there, but even then sometimes I can do it and sometimes I'm like kind of picking it out and ushering it off to the side, but.
I was gifted for this last Christmas at the Hot Sauce of the Month Club.
Really?
So every month I get two or three bottles of hot sauce from all over the world.
Very cool.
And there are some that are spicy, and then some say they're super spicy, and they're not that spicy to me. I think it's just the way your chemicals work. Some things are spicier than others.
Yeah, no doubt.
But if you have the chemicals where things aren't that spicy because either you destroyed your taste buds with
by eating cigarettes. Hot peppers with Mexicans as a teenager.
Right. Getting your dick hard with the Mexicans in the kitchen. Or smoking cigarettes or drinking whiskey or whatever it was. Some things are spicier, but it doesn't change its effect on your body.
Right.
Just because you need to add more hot spice to things so you can taste it.
Right.
Doesn't mean it doesn't hurt your body any
less. That's right. Yeah.
So that's something to keep in mind, gang, when you're out there.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, because when I was
keep in mind, gang, this is the educational portion.
Now listen to me, everyone. And when you're out smoking cigarettes and doing drugs and drinking whiskey all day, you're going to have to put hot sauce on all of your food because you can't taste anything anymore.
That's right.
But it's still going to hurt your tummy.
That's right. It sure will.
Just ask James.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up!
Now you tell me!
Oh, this story makes me so fucking happy, man.
Okay.
This is from Madrid, Spain.
Really?
A small Spanish town is considering fining a medieval church $17,500 because its church bells are too noisy.
Wow.
The town hall of Mostoles, southwest of Madrid, said Tuesday that following complaints from residents, town technicians measured the noise level of the chimes of Our Lady of the Assumption Church and found that they were some 30 decibels above the 55 rate permitted by town regulations.
Whoa. Oh.
Experts say normal conversation produces 55 to 60 decibels, while an airplane in flight produces 110 to 120 decibels.
More education.
And these things are 85 decibels.
Okay.
But I gotta tell you, there is no need for fucking church bells anymore in our society.
Why would you say that?
Especially if it's going off every hour of the fucking day.
Uh-huh.
You know? It's enough with these.
It's like the Bucket Boys on Michigan Avenue.
Oh, yeah. You don't like them? I love the Bucket Boys.
I like the Bucket Boys. I don't mind the Bucket Boys. They're just loud.
They're loud as hell.
Super loud.
It's true.
Yeah, they're super loud. But yeah, the church bells, like, what do you need to tell me what the hour of the day is? It's not like 400 years ago. Everyone has watches on.
Okay, sure. But sometimes you're not looking at your watch and you hear the bells and you're like, oh shit, it's 5 o'clock.
Like if I lived in the Middle East and everybody was screaming on top of the towers that it's time to pray in the morning, I'd be like, dude, you got to shut the fuck up. Everyone has alarms on their phone. You know?
It's tradition. Yeah.
Then you're ignoring the inner rhythms of, you know, your own spirituality then, too.
Wow.
Pray at 4:55 in the morning, you know?
Yeah, that's why you have an alarm, though, on your phone.
7 after you've had your Quaker oatmeal. And,
yeah, that's a great point.
There you go.
Parish priest Ignacio Torres told the local newspaper the bells have always been tolling in the town and that they were usually only rung at noon and before evening mass. That's 2 times. He said he had no idea how the church would pay the fine if it got enforced.
Oh.
Just get it from God.
Here's Father Torres. You just need to tell those bells to shut up, dude.
That's right.
I wish they fined everybody with those loud... I wish they had, on cars in Chicago, you got 10 honks on your car when it was new.
Okay.
And then there was a little meter, and every honk that you made on your horn after that, you got a $5 ticket in the mail.
Okay, sure.
So if you honk, it's got to be worth it. Not these fucking cab drivers that drive down the street honking.
All the whole way.
Oh my God!
Or these people that like that get to the like the T intersection of an alley and they feel like they got to lay on the goddamn horn. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, just like a little pop, bang bang.
Yeah, if you could just do one of those, that's okay. But when you lay on the horn and like, oh man, I hate that stuff. It makes me very mad.
Makes you want to go to their house and just honk your fucking horn all night long.
Yeah. And the people who have car alarms that don't even recognize their own car alarms and go out and stop them, that's another one. Fuck those people.
Yeah. We got a lot of problems here in Chicago.
Yeah.
Violence, the school system.
Yeah.
But car honking.
Man, it's got to stop.
Do you know how they spent all that money to stop graffiti in Chicago?
Right.
Stop car honking.
That's right. Honkbusters.
This is going in my... Do you remember when I told you I was running for mayor and I was going to just run on a couple things?
Uh-huh.
That was going to be my whole platform. Car honking, ending car honking is going to be one.
Okay.
And then what was the other one?
I don't know.
I've forgotten. Something about potholes, maybe.
Okay, that sounds good. Something about it. Yeah. More potholes?
More potholes.
Slow these people down. Put more potholes in the
and
street.
No honking.
That's right.
That's going to be my platform, Brian. What do you think?
I think, you know, it's legit.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah.
I tell you what, here's another sound-related issue that drives me crazy. The people who just play their fucking phones without any goddamn headphones to listen to their own goddamn music. Yeah. Fuck you people.
I say if you do that,
that's bad.
We're allowed to send someone up to just smack it out of your head.
Smack it. Smack that shit.
The thing is, it's people like from all walks of life and all ages.
It's true.
You think it's just like the Young Turks bobbing along, listening to their hip hop or whatever.
Nope.
Everyone across the board.
Yep.
And you know another thing? In like offices, doing games and stuff like that.
Boo.
You know? And you know, the other thing is, you know, people, when they're holding their phones, they hold them like gentle as shit. You know, like they're holding an egg.
Yeah.
That is perfect for smacking at us.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, I have fantasies of doing that.
Or you throwing in a pot of boiling water.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Bam! Right in the boiling water.
Fuck you, man.
There's your hard boiled egg.
How about a story out of Florida?
America!
Florida!
Yes!
Orange juice and bath salts and Mickey Mouse!
Yes! Tell me more!
A man landed himself in jail Wednesday night after attacking his 85-year-old grandmother
when
she turned off his video games.
So you want to knock phones out of people's hands.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
Andrew
Grandma got beaten up for the video game.
Yeah.
Imagine what's going to happen if you knock the phones out of people's hands.
Oh, my gosh. It could get dangerous.
Yeah.
Andrew Chin, 20, of Palm Coast, remains in Flagler County Jail on a $10,000 bail on charges of aggravated battery of a person 65 years or older. According to police, Chin's grandmother asked him to look for a water bottle she lost that night at her home. And their home. They all live together. When Chin ignored her, she unplugged the video game Chin was playing. Police said Chin then pushed his grandmother to the floor, which caused her to break her wrist. And authorities took her to the hospital. A couple things.
Yeah.
If your grandma talks to you, you should listen. Second
Goddamn
of all,
right.
You need to move out of your fucking parents' house.
Goddamn right!
And your grandma's house.
Goddamn
you're 20.
Goddamn right.
When you're 18, it's time to go.
Yeah.
You need to be working a job instead of playing video games.
Yeah.
Andrew Chin.
Yeah. Let's find his Twitter and tweet him.
Can you see him, too, just being like, Grandma! Please! Now I gotta go back into the last starting point. I was just trying to save the game.
I didn't save my progress, Nana!
Meemaw!
Leave me alone, you old bag!
Come on! Why can't Mom help you? Your water bottle's gone!
You know that dude wasn't paying rent, so Mom was off working to cover his share of it. That's
right. Chan's bills.
That's what was going on.
Only in...
I wonder if Andrew Chin actually stole her water bottle and was just trying to keep it hidden.
He did! Boo this man!
He was like, Grandma, I don't know where it is. Secretly, he's got it in his backpack.
Dick bag.
He's been using it for his video game, hydrating.
Got some Gatorade in there. Probably rusted it all out, probably.
Yeah, that's
happened.
Right. It's got he put a bunch of booze in there.
So he's ashamed and it buried it in the yard.
He should be ashamed.
He should be totally ashamed.
You gotta go to college, Andrew.
Yeah.
Don't sit at home playing video games. You're 20 years old.
Get it together,
it's
Andrew.
It's a big world, dude.
Yeah.
Wonder if I played against Andrew in any online games.
Maybe. What if he's...
I think the shame would eat away at you if you knew that you were... You know.
Oh yeah,
I'm asking everybody. Someone who beat his grandmother up over a water bottle.
And he's
bottle.
Like on your team for GTA or
is that guilt by association? I wonder.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I think so.
Yeah. I'm gonna play GTA, and next time I'm playing online, I'm gonna be on my little microphone. I'm gonna be like, "Did anyone here knock over their grandma?" Just to see, and then everyone will call me the N word or a Jew or something. That's what they do on the
Nancy?
Online games.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right, Nancy.
A Nancy?
You're such a Nancy.
How dare you, sir? Oh, hell no!
Oh, hell no!
Hell no!
I thought this was an interesting story, especially for the Halloween holiday coming up.
Okay,
I thought
great.
Brian would appreciate the story. If you're just joining us, we're talking to a big gay horror fan.
The one and only big gay horror fan, biggayhorrorfan.com.
Yep.
And on Twitter.
Two fearless souls are being sought to spend the night inside Dracula's castle this October 31st.
Really?
Where there'll be haunted clowns. I'm just joking.
Not if Target can help it. Not if Target can help it.
Yeah, no more clowns. Dracula author Bram Stoker's great-grandnephew, Dacre Stoker.
Uh-huh.
Who I think wrote a sequel to Dracula, actually.
Really?
Really?
I think Dacre did.
He's wow. throwing up in the doors to Bran Castle in yeah. Transylvania, Romania.
All right.
For the lucky winners of an Airbnb contest.
He'll
be playing the role of Dracula character Jonathan Harker.
Okay.
He'll greet them as they arrive by horse-drawn carriage to the castle, where the 15th century prince Vlad the Impaler, who inspired Stoker's 1897 gothic horror story, once stayed. He'll then treat the duo to a candlelit dinner before leading them to the crypt for their night's sleep inside of coffins. While the stay will undoubtedly be a dream come true for fans of the Irish writer's terrifying novel, guests must still abide by certain house rules. Garlic. Or garlic-scented items are forbidden.
Really?
As is silver jewelry
uh-huh.
and making any cross signs during this day.
Wow.
They must also close all curtains before sunrise and avoid taking mirror selfies.
Mercy.
Does that sound fun to you, staying in a coffin in a weird country you've never been to?
That would be quite an adventure.
It would definitely be yeah. an adventure. I don't think I would enjoy it very much, though.
Know.
I think it would be too uncomfortable.
I don't know. I know... tons of people who would love to do that. Love to do that. I've had friends who've gone to Transylvania and done the whole route. And
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a whole vamp culture, like vampire culture, that I know
sure.
next to nothing about. But
yeah,
I'm
me neither.
Sure that would...
I never saw the real, like, allure of vampires as opposed to other... Like, I thought werewolves were more exciting
it's
to me.
It's the immortality.
Yeah. Does that That's really sound good, though? Being
I'm
immortal.
Just saying.
I don't know.
Why don't we ask a lobster?
Yeah. Immortal lobsters.
I asked Jazz
before the show if lobsters were immortal.
Can they just live forever? Like hundreds of years? Like turtles, perhaps? We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
What do you think?
What do I think? I think like the whole vampire thing is very... like a dominating, like kind of, you know, S&M culture, like because you know you're talking about taking fluid from people, and you know
right.
they talk about being psychic vampires. It's all about a lot of control, and it's kind of like a dominatrix's game in a way.
Ooh,
you know,
right?
You know, right?
Yeah.
You really
sure.
think about it?
That's true.
Yeah, it's so, a lot of stuff going on.
Maybe Drac or Drag or whatever the hell.
Dacre.
Yeah.
Dacre. We'll get a couple of hot dominatrixes over there, and, you know. Of course, they'll turn the whole scenario around on him, you know, unwittingly or wittingly. But I think he will be unwitted. They will be witter.
Did you see Dracula Untold, the new one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah, it was okay.
It was okay.
You know, so many, like, I'm kind of on the... I love the cheesy shit, and I love some of the Hollywood shit, and, like, I'm looking forward to the Ouija origin movie.
Oh, I was about to ask you about that.
And Medea's Halloween or whatever. Like,
that looks funny.
Totally psyched for that stuff. And I think, like, the regular horror film, you know, it's got to be Carpenter and, you know, Romero and
right.
the serious stuff. And I'm like, I'm a little girl when it comes to some of that shit. I love
cheeseballs.
Some of the cheeseball Hollywood crap.
Yeah.
I have to admit it.
Maybe you can tell me. I just watched this show called Dead of Summer.
I haven't been able to see that yet. I heard it's really, really good though.
It's okay. It's cheesy as hell.
Yeah.
Dude. If you like cheeseball bullshit.
I probably would like it. I'm doing now that I got the Roku set up, you know, so I'm
nice.
Doing the I'm partway through Scream, the TV series, season 2,
okay.
and also Slasher, which was
okay.
another kind of slasher-inspired television show that
right.
came out this
nice.
Past year. So,
well, let's We're kind of in the middle of the interview right now, but let's end the news, do the birthday shout-outs, and then do our interview.
Okay.
All right, sound good?
All right, sounds good. Well, do you want to just say...
That's the news!
This has been Anderson Lawfer Presents Something About Things in the News and Stuff.
Yes, America, you asked for it and you got it. Anderson Lawfer Presents Something About Things in the News and Stuff.
And now, Jazz, let's do some birthday shout outs.
And today is October 18th, 2016, which means it's a great day to be
a visionary guitarist,
an exemplary celebrity martial artist,
a legendary football strategist,
or D, all of the above.
What's up, Chuck Berry?
Roll over, Beethoven. It's got to be rock and roll music if you want to dance with me, Maybelline.
From St. Louis to Chicago with no particular place to go, you influenced rock music forever, bro.
Johnny B. Goode's the only rock song on the Voyager Golden Records. In outer space for the aliens.
Happy birthday to my main man, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Who'd have thunk a Belgian dude could be so good at Shotokan karate and kickboxing? And handsome, too.
Bloodsport, Cyborg, Kickboxer, Lionheart, Universal Soldier, Hard Target, Double Impact, Time Cop. That's great cinema.
Great cinema.
I don't care if half of them were box office flops. Just check out your flip.
Zing! Your full name might be Jean-Claude Camille Francois von Barenberg, but you're JCVD to me.
Heyo, and happy birthday to Mike Ditka.
Iron Mike, the coach, number 89, rookie of the year, five-time All-Pro, first tight end ever in the NFL Hall of Fame.
You're one of the only guys ever to coach your former team to a Super Bowl. Da Bears.
The Bears.
Bears.
Bears. Still bad you're such an ignorant conservative prick. But thanks a ton for all you've done for Chicago, Coach.
And let's not forget the brother from another planet, Joe Morton.
Young Frankenstein's monster, Peter Boyle.
Playwright, poet, and feminist,
Ntozake Shangay. Yes. Reality television catastrophe, Bristol Pauline.
Academy Award protester, George C. Scott.
High School Musical star, Zac Efron.
Also born today.
Mindy to Robin Williams' Mork, Pam Dauber.
Sportscaster, Keith Jackson. Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly. Olympic gold medalist, Lindsey Vonn.
And today's birthday shout-out band is...
On guitar, Curtis Tigers.
On bass, Dan Lilker of Anthrax.
On trumpet, Wynton Marsalis.
With vocals by Laura Nero and Joe Egan of Steeler's Wheel.
R&B stylings by Neo.
And Filipino raps by Glock 9.
Glock 9, rhyming in Tagalog.
If you've got a birthday shout-out, drop us a line and stuff at Radio Misfits.
Birthday shout-outs are made possible by Today in History, an application developed by Downshift Interactive and available online... For free.
Visit the App Store and Google Play for information.
Yeah,
and
buddy.
And birthday shout-outs is brought to you by Jets Pizza.
That's
life
right.
Is short. Eat better pizza. JetsPizza.com.
JetsPizza.com. You know, Anderson, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but there are roughly 7 billion people in the world. Exactly 365 days in the year. And that means there are approximately 19,178,000 birthdays celebrated every day. But we can only celebrate a few of them. And so we celebrated the ones we could right here, right now.
All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to finish our interview with Brian Crist.
Yes!
Cursed.
Oh, my God. I always mess it
up. Did you fuck it up twice?
Yeah, twice. I did.
You dumb motherfucker.
Brian Crist.
Thank you.
The big gay horror fan. And we'll play a game as well.
Yeah!
Right after this.
Don't worry about it.
From J&A Enterprises, the people who brought you the smash hit television show, You Been Ninja'd, comes an action thriller of biblical proportions. He was a sworn officer of the law.
Yeah, I serve and protect.
Who became a sworn officer of the Lord.
But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Now he's a priest and a cop and a whole lot more. Fighting crimes in Jesus' name. Amen.
And the bad guys better say their prayers. He gets his marching orders from the chief of police, but he gets his holy orders from the King of Kings. Officer Father Jones.
Jones, you're the pride of your precinct and your parish, yar.
Next summer, witness the genesis of a police story that will be a revelation in American justice. Officer Father Jones. This feature has not yet been rated.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Game Show Show and Stuff on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. I'm Jazz. He's Andy.
That's right. Thank you, Jazz.
No, thank you.
Horror aficionado and the author of BigGayHorrorFan.com.
Yeah.
Brian Kirst.
That's right.
And we're here to talk about horror.
Yes,
horror.
We are.
And maybe gay stuff.
I know a little bit about both.
Yeah, a little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
What got you into doing a blog about this topic?
I just started noticing that at the cons I was going to, I've always been a huge fan, hence big gay horror fan,
right.
Of the genre.
Makes such sense.
Makes such sense. Total sense. Total sense. And I did. I have written for like Fangoria Online and Horror Society and Racks and Razors and different sites. And
wow.
I always was just happy being one of the guys.
Sure.
You know, I kind of liked, you know, just being part of the crowd and one of the group and
sure.
just a regular old horror guy. And but I started noticing more and more people at the horror cons and that were, you know, gay or transgendered or what have you. And I
right.
was like, well, maybe it's time. Maybe I just felt like there were things that I could say that were different and not so much even at the time concentrating on, you know, gay roles in horror films
sure,
or
sure.
gay subtext or anything like that. But just the things that interested me. Like I loved Vivian Blaine. You know, she did movies with Carmen Miranda and then went on to Broadway with Guys and Dolls, but wrapped up her career doing a couple like slasher films. And so I love writing about that stuff, like the old divas, like Lauren Bacall, you know, of course, was in The Fan and
mm-hmm.
did Broadway. And
right.
So I just did something on her I do a thing every weekend called Music to Make Horror Films By, which I mentioned previously, I think.
Yeah.
So just even that angle, like, I don't think the common horror fans are going to be writing about it. And I love that shit. I love when the old movie queens, and so many of them did, either they're at the beginning of their career or the end of their career.
Let me ask you something. Why is it stereotypical now to say that gay men are into Broadway women?
Uh-huh.
But why are gay men into the women?
You know what?
Of-
I resisted that stereotype for so many years, guys. I got to tell you, I did not want to be the Judy Garland loving, and I still have issues. I just did a post this summer that got a lot of attention because it was very honest, and I think I am diving more into now that the blog's been around for 5 years.
Okay.
How as a gay man, you know, horror has affected my life and my perceptions
sure.
of things, and those pieces seem to be getting a lot of response and a lot
sure.
of positive response, so I think I'm going to be doing more of that, and I'm even thinking of considering doing a memoir, like taking
wow,
these pieces
nice.
And making a memoir.
Hell yeah.
But I don't think it's the common way that people look at horror. And I've discovered I've got some kind of interesting stories, but yeah, I don't know.
Do you think?
What
yeah.
I think it's
that's a character you identify more with, like maybe being the woman in a horror movie who's kind of
maybe
like typically helpless and kind of like on her own.
See, the thing is, I related to the women in horror films not because they were helpless, but because they were the final girl. Like I grew up in a small,
right.
small farm town.
Definitely
East Randolph, New York, about 30 minutes outside of Jamestown, 2 hours outside of Buffalo. So way boonies, Amish,
wow.
everything. And, always felt like, you know, the square peg in the round hole. So I was inspired by, you know, Laurie and Halloween and Chris and Friday the 13th Part 3 because
sure.
they were a little bit different from the rest of their friends, a little more quiet, a little more artistic, a little more sensitive. But they had the strength to make it to the end. So I really took inspiration from that. Like, hey,
sure.
I can.
Yeah,
it
maybe
out.
That's what it is. So, yeah.
But I don't know what. There have been. The Queen's Throat was a book about opera divas and men's love for them. And I think there are people who have a much better take on why gay men are so drawn to, you know, the diva actresses. And I think some of it is, just the colorfulness of that and the over the top drama of that.
Sure.
But I never, I loved Judy Garland as a kid because she was Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
I always considered Dorothy my first final girl. But like once I got older and started getting into Patti Smith and, you know, Warren Zevon,
sure.
The Cramps and, all those punk rock outlaws, who I related to very much as well because they were also Outkast and Difference and Iggy Pop and what have you. I had quickly abandoned, like as soon as I got to the city and realized that Judy Garland was this huge gay icon. And I grew up in the era of, where the men were a bit more effeminate in the bars and we'd go, Mary. And it's so funny. I hated that when they called each other Mary. I was like, we're men. We're gay, but we're men. And now I miss it. I wish men were calling each other Mary. It's so funny how it kind of does that full circle.
Wow.
And I'm like,
yeah.
Like, where's the Mary? Where's the Mary?
Where'd it go?
Where did Mary go? So I've recently just started to watch, the old Joan Crawford films and the Betty Davis films. And some of those are dark and twisted.
Oh, yeah.
Deception with Betty Davis. She's carrying on an affair and her lover comes back. And as opposed to just, saying goodbye, she kills him.
Right.
So she'd be with the other guy. And it's just all winding staircases and moody shadowing. And they're almost horror films in of themselves. And it's been awesome because I'm discovering this new genre kind of, and also seeing how much it correlates to horror. And so I was a long time coming. I still, can't stand Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Like I,
really?
That song drives me nuts. Drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Cause it's the kind of like the gay anthem and I appreciate the effect that Judy Garland had on the gay community and, all the connotations to Stonewall and stuff like that. But I still definitely have a love-hate relationship with Madame
really? You,
Garland.
You even hate Somewhere Over the Rainbow when Sam Harris from,
I think you gotta especially hate Somewhere Over the Rainbow when Sam Harris sings
it's from,
it.
What was the show? The Ed McMahon show.
Make a Star, Wish a Star.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody
Rising
Wants
Star.
To Be a Star. What the hell was that?
Star Is Born. Rising Star.
Star Search.
Star, there we go.
Thank you.
Star
God
Search.
Almighty. I was gonna literally go apoplectic if I could not remember the name of Ed McMahon's Star Search.
Okay, so Brian, I want to ask you about some movies that came out this year.
Okay.
It's going to be a very timely interview.
All right.
Now, I've only seen probably five on this list. I am also a big horror fan. I have seen, among my group of friends, probably the most. I'm probably the most
I would concur
knowledgeable
with
horror movie person. But I'm nowhere in the neighborhood of you. So let's talk a little bit about some of these movies that came out this year, and you can tell me if you've seen them.
All right.
Okay?
I'm not going to have seen any of them.
The new Rob Zombie film, 31.
I haven't yet. I have.
How are we feeling about Rob Zombie in general? I think he's sloppy and cheap, personally.
You know what? Have you seen 31 yet?
No.
I have met a few of the actors who are in 31. They were at Flashback Weekend, which is here in Chicago. It's an awesome con here in Chicago. And spent some time with them, and I really, really look forward to it. The cast is amazing. Meg Foster. And
I don't know her.
E.G. Daily. I don't know any woman. You got to know Meg. They live, and
she looked like Kate Winslet.
She does not look like anything like Kate Winslet. Meg Foster's kick-ass.
So how are you feeling about Rob Zombie in general?
Yeah, I'm tired of the straight mentality, and I think there is a tendency in his films to really brutally attack women. In some of the Halloween, there's a couple kills in the Halloween films that I just think are just very unnecessary.
Like, yeah, I will say the difference between Eli Roth and Rob Zombie, in my opinion, is Rob Zombie, a lot of his things are nasty. Even though they might not be as gory,
yeah.
they're just like, they make you feel fucking gross.
Yeah.
Like dirty, oh. Like Rob Zombie things, you know, where Eli Roth ugh. Still does torture porn.
Yeah.
But you don't feel
as filthy.
Yeah.
But I loved, and I thought Lords of Salem was a beautiful love poem to his wife. I loved the imagery of that. I'm one of the few who really, really loves Lords of Salem. And okay. I think maybe that's one film, like, further down the line, people will really reexamine.
All right.
But there is...
I thought her as a radio host was really terrible, though.
She's not an amazing actress, but he does love her so much, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it just shows. And But there's something about that bro mentality. I think he's got a lot of bro fans. I think even Eli Roth... uses gay a lot as a derogatory.
Yeah,
like,
he does.
All his characters in every film, like, go, oh, that's gay. That's
really?
Gay. I'm like,
because he tries to make him, I heard him talk about this, and he was saying he wants to make him feel realistic or whatever, but realistic,
but
people don't say that anymore.
They don't.
Not really.
That's my big point. They don't say that anymore. Hostel, it made sense. It was a bunch of bro college dudes, and I really loved the Hostel films. Going out, you know, to a foreign country and fucking around and fucking shit up and calling each other faggot and, like, that made sense. But when you've got Sky Ferreira in the Green Inferno, who's this hip urban chick who's got a huge gay following as a singer, and she's playing the college roommate of the girl who goes off to the cannibal land, activism is so gay. Well, it doesn't make any sense because you're using that as a negative, and this is some girl who would not think being gay was a negative. She would find something else to... uses a derogatory.
It's just bad writing.
And then lazy.
Ill-placed verbiage.
It was used again in the film we did with Keanu Reeves last year. One of the characters used that as a...
Wick or whatever? No. Knock Knock.
Knock Knock Knock.
Yeah.
Oh!
One of the characters uses that again. And I'm like, dude, you just gotta, you know. Right. And I'm sure he'd be very, like, same thing. Would use the same explanation and kind of might get a little defensive about it and think you were a pussy for being so concerned. But I just think that's an important thing in our culture. We have to stop using that as a derogatory term.
Right.
Yes. More advancements.
All right. Okay. One of the biggest letdowns for me this year was Conjuring 2. What do you think about that?
You know what? This is going to be funny because I have not seen Conjuring 2 yet. I will say this. I was let down by the first Conjuring.
Really? I thought it was awesome.
So
I
just thought it was... I think it had such a hype and such a build-up, so it was maybe why I haven't rushed out. I did have my fingers kind of grazing very lovingly on it today at the Target because it was like on sale for $10 on DVD. And I'm like,
yeah. You know what?
I'm a collector. I like having shit. But,
sure. They start Conjuring 2, the first thing that the Warren family does in Conjuring 2, like the setup scene, is they're going through the Amityville house. It's just the first 10 minutes, but they're examining the Amityville house. And I was like, why don't they do a Warren movie? Why isn't there a Conjuring about the Amityville? Because Amityville, in my opinion, is the best. Yeah. I love fucking Amityville.
Okay.
So. I've got a buddy, Henrik Couteau, who's a filmmaker in Ohio, who's just done an Amityville film that I can't wait to see.
Oh, really?
I think anything with the Amityville title, I am Amityville Dollhouse. I mean, like, all those.
Awesome,
Amityville, man. The Evil Escapes. The was a TV, cheesy TV movie with Patty Duke Aston. I also adore Patty Duke Aston. Did so many, like, horror TV films. It's
right.
Awesome.
Remember John Astin in the creepy Halloween Different Strokes episode?
Yes, John. Mr.
Gomez!
I'm going to travel around and pretend to be Edgar Allan Poe, John Astin.
Yeah.
Okay, so no for The Conjuring so far.
I just was disappointed in the first one, I think. I just thought it fits that it was just... It's all the same long movie to me, so many of them.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
the ghosty, you know, they all feel... Insidious feels like Mama, feels like... You know, Conjuring to me.
It did feel like Mama.
And I can't watch any of them. Yeah. I can't bear to watch any of them.
Does it freak you out?
I can't do it.
You don't like it?
I get sick. I get sick.
Yeah.
What about Lights Out? Did you see that
one? Yes, I did see Lights Out.
Yay! For the win!
I didn't like that one too much.
You know what?
I thought it was kind of boring.
Besides, one of my big things has always been how women are treated in films. And I thought Lights Out was very standard. And once again, I thought Lights Out equals Conjuring equals, you know, Mama equals what have you. I thought it very much felt like it was one long movie, equals Sinister or whatever. But I did like the female characters in that. I thought the young girl was kind of kick-ass and obviously, you know,
punk rock,
you know, hung out with bands and at bars. Very much loved her brother. I love that actress, Teresa Palmer. I think she's done a lot of great stuff. Love that the mom was kind of twisted and fucked up. And I loved, which I think is most important, is so many of the female villains in these films are doing it for the son, a.k.a., you know, Mrs. Voorhees, right, Friday the 13th, or for, you know, to get the man back, like in Hellraiser.
Spoiler alert!
What have you.
Don't spoil Hellraiser for Jazz.
But this one, the entity was just pure evil. I mean, she was evil because she was evil.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting.
Yeah,
so,
that's cool.
Once again, I did not think it was a great film. And like you said, I thought it was kind of just very standard. But
the first
I did like
scene
it for
with
those.
Dennis Quaid was good, too.
Spoiler alert!
Dennis Quaid?
What was his name? It was Dennis Quaid, right?
No, and that it was Billy Burke.
Billy Burke.
There you go. Right.
That was Dennis Quaid.
Whatever, they look the same to me.
Yeah. Billy Burke equals Dennis Quaid equals, you know.
All of them, right?
All right. Sam Harris.
And then the other one I wanted to talk about before we'll move quickly through the rest. Let's talk about the Purge series a little bit.
Yep.
Now, I love the Purge movies.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You too?
I enjoy the Purge movies.
Did you see Election Year?
I saw Election Year.
Is it good? I didn't see that one.
Yeah, dude, it's solid. Same thing.
All right.
Elizabeth Mitchell, who I adore, is a female presidential nominee who's trying to end the Purge.
Right.
And Frank Grillo's back, playing her bodyguard, and yeah, he's sexy on a stick. He's
sexy man.
And there are nude photos floating around of him on the internet from his soap opera days.
How's his wiener? Good.
His wiener's decent.
All right,
his wiener's decent. He's a muscular guy, so sometimes that
overshadows
his wiener. Yeah.
That's the problem, guys. Areas. When you get muscular, your wiener looks too small.
Don't get buff.
That's right.
Instead, just get a big belly like me.
That's so right. And eat a lot of jalapenos.
And get a huge bush.
Ghost pepper. Yeah.
I've got a huge bush. You can't even see my wiener.
But you're a fan of the gardening people are a fan.
Yeah. That's right. Okay, now let's move quickly. Give me a loved it or hated it.
Okay.
All right. Ouija, Origin of Evil. Not
haven't not seen it. It's not out yet. But as I said earlier, I'm so excited to see it.
Joke's on you, Andy.
Other Side of the Door.
I have not seen that yet.
Wow.
The Boy.
The Boy, I really enjoyed.
The Boy, okay.
I think The Other Side of the Door is like a direct to video. So I don't know if it got much of a release. But yeah, The Boy, I really enjoyed. I thought there was some fun stuff. Once again, strong female characters. And the ending got a little ridiculous, but I like The Boy.
All right.
All right. Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
You know what? I haven't been able to get through it.
It looks boring.
I own it, and it's been a real tough. You want it to be fantastic, but that's one like on my list. I'm like, I've got to go back and try to attack that again. I got it for Zombies.
The Neon Demon?
Favorite movie of the year so far.
All right.
Really? Okay. All right.
Neon Demon. Now, see, I can't watch all of these movies, but if I know one of them
Neon
is good,
Neon Demon, you might.
I'll do it.
Have you seen it, Andy? No. The visuals are incredible. It's not so much a horror film. I mean, it very much deals with how women treat each other and how women are objectified and how they objectify themselves. And there is a kind of a stereotypical predatory lesbian. There are some things that you're kind of like,
Archetypes,
and bad. There are some. Yeah, I mean, it takes place in the modeling world, so the women are very undressed all the time, and they're gorgeous. They're gorgeous, and I love
titties.
I love titties. I love female.
Yeah,
my one
too.
Thing about that is I love female nudity. I used to get Playboy in the mail. I love the female body. I remember years ago when I was doing theater a lot. Annie Sprinkle was in town.
Oh wow,
doing a show about all her porn films, and I would get so mad because the artistic directors of different theater companies are like, oh my God, it's pussy, it's gross. And I'm like, I thought it was the best show I had seen. I love straight porn. But I do think there is a preponderance. Is that a word? Is that the right word?
Yeah. Is that the right word?
Of female nudity in films. And I think that it should be evened out. Like every female breast, you need to see a male butt.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
One cheek
for
one
that's his platform for mayor.
Yeah. There we go.
One cheek for one tit.
Oh, no, we can't run again. I have to run on a different year than you do. Yeah. I just can't run against you, Andrew. I can't run against you.
All right.
I love that he just called you Andrew.
That's right. Yes! That was me.
Oh, no. We'll see. Cheers. Okay. Cheers. All right. Anderson, Andrew.
How about Before I Wake?
I have not seen that yet.
The New Blair Witch.
New Blair Witch, also, I have not seen that yet. I've heard mixed things about that. I've heard mostly bad, I'll be honest. I've been meaning to get to see it.
Although, if the first Blair Witch came out now, we would hear bad things, and that movie changed my fucking life, man. That movie was fantastic.
Wow.
The Darkness.
The Darkness?
I hadn't even heard of this.
I don't know if I've... No.
How about Jack Goes Home?
No, haven't heard of it.
How about 10 Cloverfield Lane?
Yes.
I love 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yes.
Good. John Goodman is incredible. Yeah, out of this world, awesome. Kid.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. And another great,
win an Oscar.
Another great female heroine in that.
Yeah, okay. She's good. Another the lady from Braindead.
Yeah, Meredith Elizabeth Winstead.
All right.
Yep. Yeah. Did you see Braindead yet?
I'm halfway through Braindead.
It's awesome.
Halfway through Braindead. Yeah. And she's got a band with... this DJ dude that they met on the set of the Scott Pilgrim films. And
wow.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead's got a cool, cool ass. She's the lead singer.
She's got
singer.
A great ass.
Sure she does.
All right, good deal. So now...
Did we mention Don't Breathe?
No, we didn't talk. Did we?
I don't think we did.
No,
that was not a huge one. That's a huge one.
Oh, here, I got it right here. Don't Breathe. That's right.
Yep. That's actually pretty good. Like, that was... The setup's really good. It starts out very naturalistic and kind of...
It's out now still, time. Right?
Just I think Don't out. Breathe is doing well enough. Yeah, that's just the thing. I really have wanted to see Blair Witch, and I think it's gone. Like, I'm hoping to catch it in the second run. I would like to see it in the theaters. I really, really, really would.
That's about intruders, which is the scariest thing to me.
Yeah.
The attack is flipped on them. Like, they break into this guy's house, and he flips it on them, and that's really intense. And then it gets just... There's some real crazy, crazy twists. That was a movie where, like, I'd be like, "Oh, that was brilliant. That was really good." Then I'd be like, "I don't know if I like this now. I don't know." And I kept on flipping back and forth. Ultimately, I really, really enjoyed it. So,
well, it's doing great on Rotten Tomatoes. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now let's play some Halloween Trivia Treasure Trove.
Yes, Trivia Treasure Trove, the game where everything matters, anything goes, and nothing is sacred.
Now, Brian, we made the game a little bit harder this time.
That's right.
Last time you were on, if I remember correctly, Tony, you played with Tony, right?
That's right.
She described a movie, and you had to guess what movie she was talking about.
I kind of loved that, because it was just so...
It was weird, right?
Very random.
Yeah. So this is just straight-up horror trivia.
Now I'm nervous. It's
a lot of questions, and we'll go fast so we won't have to spend too long on each question, okay?
All right.
Jazz, how do we play Trivia Treasure Trove?
Well, here's how to play Trivia Treasure Trove. Our philosophy here at the Game Show and Stuff is the devil is in the details, so pay attention or go to hell. You're about to hear a series of complicated questions with simple answers or vice versa, where your ability to retain useless information will prove very useful. This week, it's horror movies. Answer the question correctly and get a point. Get enough points and win the game. Remember, there may be no stupid questions, but there are stupid people, and that's how you play. Everyone say it with me.
Trivia Treasure Trove. All right.
I didn't say it right.
That's okay.
But I don't know if that bodes well.
Yeah, that's okay. Here we go. All right, we're going to start. We don't have to time it, but we're going to go quickly. Okay.
You don't want time on the clock?
No, these are all multiple choice. So
okay.
Shouldn't be as hard as we're making it out to be.
So
I'm clutching a pencil.
Tell me, because I don't know what the answer is.
Okay, here we go. Who is the killer in Friday the 13th? Jason Voorhees, Alice Hardy, Pamela Voorhees, or Ned Rubenstein?
Pamela Voorhees.
Halloween H2O features a cast member from Psycho. Who is it? Anthony Perkins, Jamie Lee Curtis, Norman Bates, or Janet Leigh?
Janet Leigh.
What are the police officers' names in Freddy vs. Jason? Officer Franco and Officer Rogan, Officer Garcia and Officer Page, Officer Reznor and Officer Cobain, or Officer Cyrus and Officer Duff?
Oh my God. I'm going to go with Cobain.
And Reznor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Reznor, yeah.
What snack is Tallahassee searching for in Zombieland? Ho-Hos, Snowballs, Snickers, or Twinkies?
Twinkies.
What is the name of the motel in Psycho? Bel Air Motel, Slumberland, Bates Motel, or Crave Inn?
Bates Motel.
Name
but I want to say a Crave Inn.
Yeah, yeah, that's right? A good one, right?
Yeah.
Name the radio station Glenn listens to in A Nightmare on Elm Street. KACL, KZYC, KROC, or KRGR?
Oh, God, I've got no idea. Someone's going to go KROC. Yeah.
It's KRGR for
Kruger.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I should have known that. I'm going to get, like, stoned on the street.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to say your address at the end. So
seriously.
People know
it. Hey, he knows not of the Kruger.
Halloween primarily takes place in which state? Ohio, Indiana, California, or Illinois?
Illinois.
The characters in this horror movie are seen watching Shaun of the Dead. Name the movie. Zombieland, Final Destination, Halloween H2O, or Scream 4?
Scream 4.
Pretty good so far.
Yeah, very good.
What is the name of the serial killer at the start of Child's Play? The beginning of Child's Play. Mm-hmm. The Lakeshore Strangler, the Linkin Park Loon, the North Shore Killer, or the South Side Psycho?
A.
The Lakeshore Strangler, that's right. That took place in Chicago, didn't it?
I know,
it? Yeah.
I know, filmed in Chicago. My friend Peggy was an extra in the department store scene.
Oh, yeah, in Child's Play?
But a bunch of major theater. What's his face from Steppenwolf, isn't it?
Sinise? Malkovich?
No, not, and I can't think of his name, and I'm sure we want to move on, so I'm interrupting things. But yeah, right. One of their ensemble members, whose name I can't think of.
Gary
in
Cole?
Child's Play.
He teaches that, he's the owner of the department store, or the manager of the department store. He's a regular Steppenwolf guy.
Not Gary Cole?
Fran Guinan?
No, he teaches at Columbia College, and he does accents at Columbia College. I know all the specifics. I can't just
think of his
name.
I don't know.
Right, I don't know either.
Well, there's some awesome Chicago theater actors in that.
Yeah, I should know this.
All right. What is the name of the hotel in The Shining? The Majestic, the Lenox, the Sierra, or the Overlook?
The Overlook.
Who directed Saw? Robert Rodriguez, Eli Roth, James Wan, or Quentin Tarantino?
James Wan.
What's the name of Ripley's cat and alien? Mr. Boots, Garfield, Jonesy, or Orion?
Jonesy.
Goatface. Ghostface's mask and scream is based on a painting by which famous artist? Manet, Warhol, Munch, or Monet?
Munch. The Scream.
Yeah, that's right. The Ring is originally based on a 1998 horror movie from which country? Ireland, Japan, Australia, or Korea?
Japan.
How many Friday the 13th movies are there? 7, 12, 9, or 5?
Oh my God, I'm going to have to... There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, The New Beginning, 6, 7, 8. Then there's Jason Goes to Hell. There's the Jason in Space one. There's Freddy vs. Jason, the remake, so 12.
Wow!
What is the name of the main protagonist in Night of the Living Dead? Billy, Steve, Freddy, or Ben?
Ben.
Holy shit, dude.
Wow!
You only got one wrong out of 16 so far.
Wow.
In A Nightmare on Elm Street, Nancy runs up a flight of squishy stairs. What substance do the special effects crew use to make them look squishy? Glue, pudding, Bisquick, or oatmeal?
I'm going to say oatmeal. Now, I'm not doing well on the nightmare stuff.
Yeah.
Bisquick. Before becoming a director, Wes Craven was originally a fireman, mechanic, college professor, or architect?
College professor. I've redeemed the Craven a bit.
There. Yeah, good job. Yeah. What is the name of the electronic store Sean works at Shaun of the Dead? Kruger, Best Buy, Fori, or Target?
Fori, right?
Kevin Williamson was inspired to write Scream after watching a documentary about which real-life serial killer? Ted Bundy, the Gainesville Ripper, Charles Manson, or the Boston Strangler?
Oh, the Boston Strangler? Yeah, I just guessed.
The Gainesville Ripper.
I just guessed on that one. Wow.
But that is three wrong out of 20.
Wow!
Holy shit.
That
dude.
Is amazing. And that you know what that means, Anderson.
You have won the game!
Ryan Kersey, you are the champion of the game! First night and in perpetuity throughout the universe!
Man, wow. Awesome, dude.
Man, it sure was.
Thank you.
Incredible!
Next time you come on, we're going to have even harder questions.
All right, awesome.
Yeah. Yeah,
awesome.
We're going to get it so we only get...
I'll be studying all year. I'll be, yeah, get my reference books out.
Yeah.
And, you know.
We tried to cover just the big ones in this list.
Yeah.
We're going to
get
into the weird shit.
All the ones that
now I feel like
watch.
I have to go back and watch all the commentary on Nightmare on Elm Street.
Find out about all that stuff.
I'm especially upset about that Kroger one. The Kroger one. That was so... I could have just even guessed that.
KRGR?
Yeah, that was bad.
That's all right, though, man.
No
You're
problem, dude.
Still very, I'm impressed.
Shame-faced.
No, I'm impressed, man. I'm impressed.
Well, hopefully you'll come back on the show soon.
Love it.
Happy Halloween.
Thanks. Yeah. Same to you guys. It's Halloween every day of the year for me, obviously.
BigGayHorrorFan.com and Facebook.com / BigGayHorrorFan.
Yeah.
Nicely done there, Anderson.
All right, Brian. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Thank you both, guys. I really appreciate
so
it.
So awesome.
All right.
So awesome.
Jazz.
Yes, Anderson.
Go Cubs.
Go Cubs.
See you next Tuesday.
Shoes.
Just relax.
What the f*** happened to my shoes?
Okay, show's over.
What's going on?
Son of a bitch.